Christmas contraband. All right. Nick DiGilio here. How you doing, everybody? I'm your overnight dude, 2 to 5 a.m. right here on WGN. Hey. Yeah, man, it's Thursday. Yeah! We doing Triple Play Thursday, Dan?
We just got a request a second ago.
Oh, we did? Okay. Well, you guys want to send in your request for Triple Play Thursday? Yeah, Triple Play Thursday! What was that, Bobby Brady? No, Peter Brady, right? He's the one who had the "It's Time to Change," right? It was Peter.
Yes.
Okay. And that song was a smash hit for the Bradys. Nick DiGilio, hi. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. It's Triple Play Thursday, so if you want to get in, your requests, we'll play, pick an artist, and we'll play three songs. I'm not going to do it. Dan does, because Dan's the only one who actually works here. Dan and Esmeralda, I just sit around like a jackass, press a button, and I talk like an idiot. So pick an artist here, and three songs, three bumps throughout the morning, because it's Triple Play Thursday, man, yeah. 312-981-7200. Also, text 312-981-7200. You can check us out on Twitter, at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page. We are very close to 12,000 fans, so let's go put us over the top. Tell your friends and neighbors to like us. You like us as well. Very easy to do. Go to Facebook, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Like us. We'll hit 12,000. Foot Cheese will lose his breath because he'll be blowing up. Who's it? Foot Cheese? Yeah, it's Foot Cheese, not Olive Loaf. Olive Loaf is probably just going to sit, watch him and make fun of him while he's blowing up the balloons. So that'll be coming up. Our Facebook page is great. It's got links to everything that we're talking about, videos and pictures, and you can leave your comments there and participate in the show through our Facebook page as well. It's awesome. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. And for those of you who are podcast fans, and we really appreciate it because our podcasts are very, very, very popular, and we thank you for that. Continue to make our podcast popular. Check us out at WGNradio.com. Every second of the show is podcast every morning. So if you miss anything, you can go back, check out the podcasts at your leisure, bro. And listen to them. Easiest way is to go through iTunes and subscribe for free. Go to iTunes, Nick DiGilio Show page, subscribe. They show up in your device automatically, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. And also check out all of our podcasts. Subscribe to our podcast. Continue to listen to us via podcast at WGNradio.com. Hey, coming up a little bit, my friend Dmitry Samarov is going to be live in studio after the 3 o'clock news. Dmitry's a great guy. Spent some years here in Chicago. As a cab driver, wrote a couple of books about those experiences as a cab driver. Very successful books. He is also an artist and has been for many, many years. Continues to do his art. Now he's a writer and a columnist. And he's written some really cool stuff. He does book reviews as well. We're going to talk all about his latest writing experiences, book reviews, and columns. He writes for The Reader, and he writes a bunch of book reviews as well. We'll get into all of that. It's always fun to have Dmitry on. He'll be live in studio after 3 o'clock. So this teen club, Zero Gravity, which has been around for like 20 years, is closing down at 75th Street and Route 53. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I thought maybe a little bit later on we could talk about like where you hung out when you were a teenager. You know, like in your late teens or whatever. Like where was what was your hangout like in high school or after high school? Where did you hang out? And there were other, they used to call them juice bars. Did they call the, when I was under 21, they were called juice bars. Because, you know, you weren't allowed to buy liquor before you were 21, so they called them juice bars. Was Zero Gravity considered a juice bar? But nobody uses that term anymore, right?
No.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Never.
Did they have actual juice, at least?
I don't know.
Some bottles of OJ?
Yeah, I guess they did. I don't remember. I wasn't one to go to those places. I mean, they were mostly dance clubs. I don't dance. So there was one. I remember there was one like in Niles that we went to a couple of times because they would have like heavy metal night. I don't remember the name of it. McGillicuddy's or something. I have no idea. Let me say hello to, as you can tell, the younger people who work on the show. My great producer, the best producer in the world, actually, Dan Shagrew. Hi, Dan.
Good morning, Nick.
How are you, pal?
Good, man. How about you?
It's Thursday.
Yeah.
It's Triple Play Thursday.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. So you're going to be getting requests from listeners. So why don't we just keep it, because we'll get a lot of requests from listeners. But I'm not going to pick one this week, and neither will you guys. Let's just leave it up to the listeners. As long as we don't get any more Alan Parsons requests, I think we'll be okay. So no, you never heard the term juice bar.
I had not.
And I am old, I guess. And in the news room, there is Esmeralda Leon. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hello.
No juice bar, you ever heard? No?
I've heard the term.
Yeah.
Probably because I was watching some old documentary.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That is very kind of you.
About the 1850s.
1850s, yes. Yes.
After you got done mining for gold, went to the juice bar.
Damn it.
Got a sarsaparilla.
I'm going to get me some gold.
But no, I've never heard anyone call that anything ever except a Jamba Juice. And not even that has been called a juice bar.
No, it's not. That's not a juice bar. A juice bar is an underage dance club or gathering establishment for people, for teenagers, people under 21. That's a juice bar. I can't believe that nobody's ever heard of that term. Well, anyway, but there was one, I remember, the only one that we ever went to, my friends and I, well, there was Medusa's. Medusa's was the classic one. Medusa's was on Sheffield, and I, it was actually right across the street from, where you know where Sheffield's is, the bar Sheffield's? That's school, right? Is that school? No, school is run the other way, right? No, it's school. Yeah, it's school. Yeah, I think it's school. The corner of school and Sheffield, right?
Oh, okay, yes. I know where you're talking about.
So, school in Sheffield, there's a bar called Sheffield's.
Mm-hmm.
Right across the street, directly across the street from the corner bar there, Sheffield's, used to be a place called Medusa's. And it was kind of like, it was the new, you know, it was like the punky new wave, you know, like Ministry used to play there when they sounded like Depeche Mode. Gigi Allen played there a lot.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, lots of fecal matter had to be mopped up off the floor when he would show up. But yeah, that was Medusa's. That was the other one that was, and we went to that one a few times because some bands that would play in Chicago, they would play there, and so that was like kind of the only place that you could see them if you weren't 21. If you liked bands that were kind of new wavy and punky and, you know, gothy. But that was about it. And then the place in Skokie or Niles or something called McGillicuddy's. I don't know what the hell it was called. It was, it could have been a Mick. I think it had a Mick something. Mick, you know, Mick Johnson's. I don't know.
Mick
anyway.
Youngins?
Mick Youngins. Oh, I think it was Mick Juice Bar. I think that's what it was. So, anyway. So we'll talk about teen hangouts and stuff later on in the show. So I wanted to start with, I was talking with Esmeralda off the air a little bit, and I asked her, this is like a really stupid question. I asked Esmeralda, I said, Esmeralda, do you remember pop-up video? And your response was,
yeah.
Yeah. You were like, but you looked at me like, yeah,
right.
Idiot.
Show's amazing.
Now, Dan, did you watch the pop-up video?
A heavy rotation in the college apartment / dorm room, yes.
I loved pop-up video. I thought it was great. And I have some incredible facts here. Some great facts, behind-the-scenes stories of pop-up video. Now, for those of you who don't know what pop-up video is, you were probably at a juice bar when it was on. No. Pop-up video was on VH1, and they would take popular videos, and then little crazy facts would pop up during on the screen. They would pop up on the screen, and you would read them, little bubbles. They almost look like and they did kind of have emojis as well in there. It kind of was like texting. It was like watching someone text facts on the screen. So that show, I guess, was way ahead of its time because they were little thought bubble things. And they did use like little heartbreaking emojis, remember? And they would have like tears and stuff that would pop up.
Yeah, that dating show had that too.
What dating show?
Like Next Date. Something like that.
Next Date?
Do you remember, Dan?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
Was
it called Next? Because there was a show called Next.
No.
Also a fantastic
like
movie.
Date.
Eliminate.
Oh, Blind Date.
Blind
Date. Yeah, Blind Date. Oh, yeah. With John. No, what the hell was that guy's name? That guy's name. John Turtletown. Or something.
Standard dating host,
yeah,
man.
And he was like the executive producer of the show. He had black hair, very like, he looked like everybody who ever hosted anything.
Oh, he used to be on VH1.
Roger Lodge.
Roger Lodge, that's right, Roger Lodge. And he was on VH1. No, he was.
Oh, was he?
Roger Lodge was on VH1. You know, I was dating a girl when at the height of the blind date popularity, and she hated that guy so much. She'd be like, turn this off. I can't stand this guy. Like, something about Roger Lodge repulsed my ex to the point where she's like, I don't turn this off now. I don't know what it was about Roger Lodge. I think it was because he was so overwhelmingly smarmy.
Well, his pictures on Google do make him look pretty kind of creepy.
He was the captain of smarm, Roger Lodge. Like, hey, you know, he'd like look in the camera. You know, he was cut from the same cloth as like Ryan Seacrest. You know, captain, yeah. Douchebag, smarm dude.
There's something about his eyes
that are creepy.
They kind of hang.
Like they hang.
Not the eye itself, but like his eye hole.
His eye hole hangs.
Like the top part. What's that called?
Eyelid?
No, yeah, but that brow bone.
Okay.
Is a little. It goes a little too long, so it.
So he has caveman qualities.
But it's not caveman. But there's a shadow, kind of like over.
So he's
his
evil.
Eyes.
He has no soul. So you're saying that Roger Lodge has no soul.
Just I can see where the smarmy comes from.
Oh, he was Captain Smarm. Did you ever watch Blind Date?
Yeah.
And you don't remember him being Captain Smarm? Hey, it looks like that date's not going to work out.
I mean, I was way more into the emojis.
Wow. So way ahead of its time, these shows. And I've mentioned this before. You know, the greatest, and I always mention this whenever dating shows come up, the greatest dating show ever was on during the popularity, the height of the popularity of Roger Lodge and his eye holes. And Fifth Wheel, you remember the Fifth Wheel? They'd be on a bus, like they had a couple of.
Was it his friend or was it?
No, they would.
They were all just.
No, they were like a
triple. Two, dates?
They were like four people that were on a bus. Two guys and two girls were on a bus, and then they'd bring in either a guy or a girl as the fifth wheel to see if that person could take one of the people away.
Oh, right, I get it. Okay.
And the fifth wheel was always like a real loose person, like it was like a woman who would just like sleep with anybody. Or some dude with no shirt, you know, would get on. Oh, it was just crap. But there was a block of them on Channel 50 in the early 2000s, 2002, like 2003. I would spend the days watching them. I was going through a horrible breakup at the time, so I ended up watching like a 2-hour block of really horrible dating shows on Channel 50. That's how I spent my days after this horrendous breakup. By the way, the breakup. The girl who dumped me is the one who hated Roger Lodge. So maybe because I watched that show, she left me. Like my first wife left me because she came home and I was watching Waterworld for the second time. That she caught me watching Waterworld. It sounds like it's a dirty thing. Oh my God, my wife caught me watching Waterworld. Like she, you know, she checked my computer history and she saw I downloaded Waterworld four times. She had to leave. You got to clear your history, man. Instead of porn, it was Waterworld. Anyway, well, look, I got a break here. So we're going to take a break. God, Dan, you didn't even tell me to do that. It's amazing. I actually did that on my own. I feel like I should probably maybe have a radio show at some time.
He was hypnotized by all this date talk.
I was looking into Roger Lodge's eyes.
And his eye holes.
Okay. All right, we'll come back. We'll give you some facts about pop-up video, and we'll tell you the life story of Roger Lodge. And his eye holes. Oh, man. All right, man. All right. I'll take that. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, Triple Play Thursday. God bless you guys in the 219 and 262 area code. Uriah Heep, baby. Man. Uriah Heep rules. All right, so our first triple play artist of the morning is Uriah Heep. I can't believe that's not Scott Oaken who made that request. I directed a bunch of plays that Scott wrote, and every show that he wrote, he would include at least one or two Uriah Heep songs for transitions. I'm not kidding. That was actually featured in a show called Toast of the Town that I directed that song. All right, Uriah Heep. Hey, it's Nick DiGilio. Hey, register now through March 17th for WGN Radio's Bracket Battle, sponsored by Alpamonte Ford. Fill out your bracket and make your picks for this year's Men's College Basketball Tournament. Compete against your favorite WGN Radio hosts for a chance to win. A perfect 63-game bracket wins $1 million. The person with the highest point total wins a two-year lease for 2016 Ford Focus from Alpamonte Ford. Keep up with the tournament standings and see how you stack up against the WGN Radio family. Register right now. Register today. Get details and follow along at WGNradio.com/bracketbattle. All right, Nick DiGilio, and we're here, Dan and Esmeralda, hanging out. My buddy Dmitry Samarov is going to come in, talk about some of the stuff that he's been writing lately, book reviews and columns for The Reader. Terrific guy. Wrote two books about his experiences as a cab driver, and he's also a remarkable artist, and we'll get to that as well. But we were talking about dating shows because we're going to get into some facts about pop-up video, and we were talking specifically about Blind Date with the smarm master himself, with no eyes, Roger Lodge, and no soul. And they also had, like, The Fifth Wheel. And then the one that I loved the most, that I absolutely to this day loved, and I've mentioned it before on the show. If people can go back, and there was a show called Shipmates, and it was on in that block. It was like they would have a Roger Lodge and his soulless eye sockets in Blind Date. Then they would have Fifth Wheel. Then they'd have Shipmates. And then they'd have another episode of Blind Date. So it was like an hour-long or a two-hour-long block. So Shipmates, the setup on this show, it was a terrible show, absolutely terrible. It's about these two people who are put together like a blind date, but they're on a cruise, like a three-day cruise, and they can't get off the boat. So if they hate each other on day one, by day three, they're screaming at each other and they're flipping. It was horrible. They'd mostly get drunk, you know, and they would like hook up with other people. It was horrible. But the beauty of the show, the genius of the show, was the one and only Chris Hardwick. And I love Chris Hardwick. I love Chris Hardwick. Nerdist.com. I love him. I think he's great. I think he's hilarious. I loved him ever since he was on that damn show with Jenny McCarthy. Singled Out. I loved him since then. And now he's on At Midnight. He's doing really, really well. He's great. He's tremendous. He, at the time when they made Shipmates, they asked him to do it. And Hardwick was, at this time, he was having some difficulties. He was drinking a lot. And, you know, they called him up and said, hey, we got this show called Shipmates. And they described it to him. And, of course, in his head, he's like, oh, my God, this is horrible. And they're like, we want you to host it. And so he said, okay, well, let me host it the way I want to host it. Let me do anything I want. And he said, because they were on Bill and Wendy's show. And I kind of made Bill ask the question to him about Shipmates, which I'm sure he's thrilled to get questions about Shipmates. And so he hosts the show. If you go back and watch it, and I think a lot of it is available on YouTube, he hosts the show with such undisguised disdain that it's absolutely hysterical. We have to break again. But it's absolutely hysterical. I want to get to the news on time. But hang on. I'll tell you a little bit more about Shipmates, and then we'll get into all the facts that you need to know and behind-the-scenes stories of pop-up video. We're really reminiscing again this morning because later on in the show, we're going to talk about our teen hangouts, and I'm sure that Baker Square will be mentioned at least five times. All right, we got a break here for the news. We'll be right back.
Weaker than a moment and hot as any fire. This is man's desire.
Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live here in the overnights. My buddy Dmitry Samarov is going to join us, former cab driver, great artist, written a couple of books, and is now reviewing books and writing columns for The Reader, and we'll talk all about that as well. We'll catch up with him. Now, Dan, are people requesting specific songs?
Yes.
Man, that's Blind Eye. Man, those are deep cuts for Thursday, Triple Play Thursday. Yeah!
We're giving a voice to the people.
That's right, man.
They're not playing this on those classic rock stations.
Oh, man, you need to play The Heap. I'm telling you. 219 and 262 area code, our first artist for Triple Play Thursday this morning. We try to do a themed thing every morning for your bump so that you can get involved and pick some of the music that we listen to. And we're not judging. No, I am a little bit. Alan Parsons was a little tough, but But it's all right. So Uriah Heep this morning. All right, let's get back to shipmates. Now, really quickly, I have to explain it. And I looked it up on YouTube, and there are a lot of, Dan, have you seen, there's a lot of Shipmates episodes on YouTube.
There are, yes.
And I honestly, I highly recommend that you watch it. I'm not kidding when I say I watched it every day. I watched the soulless, black-eyed Roger Lodge. The soulless, black-eyed Roger Lodge host two episodes of Blind Date, and in between they would have the fifth wheel, which was basically bros and whores on a bus, and then Shipmates, which was two morons on a boat on a cruise that had to have three dates over a course of 3 days. The reason I watched Shipmates religiously was because of Chris Hardwick, stand-up comedian, very funny guy, was originally the host of Singled Out. Well, he was always the host. It was just they went through chicks, right? Because it was Jenny McCarthy, Carmen Electra. Was there somebody else? Was there a third chick? Why do I think there was a third chick? No, I think it was Carmen Electra and Jenny McCarthy. I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking of? Of Remote Control. Because Remote Control had three chicks. Remote Control had Marisol, Kari Wuhr, and then somebody else.
Wikipedia only lists Jenny and Carmen.
Yeah, okay. I got confused with Remote Control because Remote Control had three chicks. Three hot babe chicks that they would. It was Marisol, Kari Wuhr, and then I don't know who the third one was. And by the way, you can thank Remote Control for the careers of Dennis Leary, Colin Quinn, and Adam Sandler. They all started on Remote Control. All of those guys started on Remote Control, which is a great show. I loved Remote Control. Remote Control was awesome. You guys might be a little too young for Remote Control. Dan, were you too young for Remote Control?
No, I remember it.
Oh, you do? Because it was started in the mid to late 80s, and I think it went to the early 90s. Esmeralda, did you watch Remote Control?
Vaguely. I vaguely remember it.
It was great. Ken Ober was the host. And I'm not kidding. All these guys, all of these comedians who went on to massive Chris Rock, all these guys started out on Remote Control. Like, they would scour the... They would just, you know, like the guys... Ken Ober was a... Ken Ober at that point was like one of those not an elder statesman, but he was a very popular stand-up comedian doing the circuit at that time. And he knew all these young dudes who were doing the circuit, especially in New York, and got them all on the show. And they all got to do bits. And they all played weird characters, and they would come out it was a game show. Remote Control was a game show. But they would come out and do, like, these weird characters and bits and stuff. And Colin Quinn was kind of the Ed McMahon of the show. Colin Quinn was, like, the sidekick, and then the hot chick would always sit near Colin Quinn. And that was Marisol, and then Kari Wuhr, and somebody else. Remote Control rules, man. I would love it if they brought that show back. Well, you couldn't, because everybody who was on that show now makes $15 million a movie, so they can't bring them back. But anyway, so Hardwick was on this show, Shipmates, and it was a terrible show. It was awful. It was as bad a horrible TV dating show as you can get. People getting drunk, acting like idiots, just, you know, really just horrible. But the great thing about it was Chris Hardwick. Chris Hardwick would look into the camera, and he would look into the camera and literally say stuff like, "Why are you watching this?" And like look into the camera at the viewer, like me, on a Tuesday afternoon sitting on my couch, just going, "Don't you have something better to do? These people are awful. All right, let's do the next setup." And that's how he hosted the show, and it was genius. And he did not hide his hatred for the show. He did not hide his disdain for the people that were on it. And, like, many times said, "I'm embarrassed. I have this job." It was the best. It was so refreshing because I'm watching soulless Roger Lodge do his smarmy crap, you know. And I don't know who hosted the fifth wheel. But then right in the middle of that is this guy who knows that this block of crap that you're watching is crap and acknowledges it and agrees with you that you're watching garbage. It was genius. And so when Hardwick was on with Bill and Wendy, I was like, Dan sent a note to Bill, like, "Please, you know, Nick's an idiot, I know that, but listen, I used to work with you, Bill, so could you please humor this moron that I work with now and ask Chris Hardwick about Shipmates?" And Bill was kind enough to do that, but the answer was great. It was very entertaining. He said, "I was drunk, I liked a lot of money, they paid me a lot, and they let me do whatever the hell I wanted." And I'm telling you, the result is hilarious. Just like the look, they would cut back after like watching, you know, day number two on the ship with these two losers. And it's gone horribly wrong. They were in the disco. They got drunk. They threw up on the floor. Whatever. Whatever horrendous thing happened. They cut back to Hardwick, and there are times when he would just, like, not say anything. He'd just look at the camera. Just look right at you. Not say a word, but the look on his face is, that was the most horrible thing I've ever seen, and I can't believe. I'm hosting this, and I can't believe you're watching it. I'm telling you, it was fantastic. It was meta before meta was hip. Like, I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, wait, because I liked Chris Hardwick from Singled Out. And then, like, I remember watching it, and he was not doing anything like Roger Lodge does. He wasn't like, hey, I hope it all works out for you kids. He wasn't doing that at all. And I was like, wow, that's pretty funny. It was fantastic. It was like 2002, 2003, right around that time. I don't think it lasted more than a season. I think it's because Hardwick was just not playing the game. So, anyway, go to YouTube if you can watch it. Just don't worry about watching the crap with the two people getting drunk. The dates are always horrible. But everything in between, like all of the stuff that he did, is great. So, all right. So pop-up video was a very, very popular thing. And here are some facts about pop-up video. I kind of miss pop-up video. And Esmeralda, you were saying off the air that you wish it was back on, too.
Oh, totally. But then again, there's not that many videos anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they make videos, but they don't show them.
Right.
You know? So, I don't know. But, I mean, so VH1 had this thing, pop-up video, where they would all these little facts and tidbits would pop up on the screen, as we said earlier, like, you know, like a text message. Like you're watching someone texting smart-ass comments or little-known trivia about the videos that you're watching. So here's the deal. Here are some facts about pop-up video for all of you who long for the return of pop-up video. MTV ejected a pop-up video co-creator from the building. That's our fact number one, a little behind the scenes. Ooh, things got a little heated, I guess. Before circulating a laundry list of proposals to VH1 for consideration, including the idea of quote-unquote narrating a music video with facts in pop-up window boxes they called info nuggets. Well, I didn't know it was called info nuggets. Okay. Freelance producer Tad Lowe. Oh, yeah, there's a name. Tad Lowe. Where's Kirk Fogg when you need him? Is it Kirk Fogg? Yeah. Kirk Fogg and Tad. They should have a comedy duo, Lowe and Fogg.
Well, wait till you meet the co-creator.
Oh, okay. Tad Lowe had been working for MTV co-creator Woody Thompson. Tad and Woody. They follow Shadow Bags, I think, in middays. Tad and Woody.
Just coming back from that suspension.
They pissed off the PD, man, and you don't want to do that. So they wrote the duo's website 3 years earlier. Lowe had been fired from the network and ejected with two beefy security goons escorting him out. The VP who released him was now with VH1. Needless to say, Thompson recalled, our early pitch meetings at VH1 were a bit tense. No one was tossed out, but the network loved the idea and ordered a pilot. So Tad Lowe got thrown out. The pops could have been handwritten. In their pitch letter to the network, Thompson and Lowe floated several different possibilities for communicating trivia to viewers. Telestrated handwriting similar to what sportscasters do was one idea. A crawl similar to a news ticker was also considered. Now, that wouldn't have worked. That definitely wouldn't have worked. Because a lot of the little info, I didn't know they were called info nuggets, a lot of little info nuggets sometimes would pop up specifically with an arrow pointing to something that you should be seeing that they're describing. You know, which was pretty cool. Producers got the inside scoop from crew members to gather information for the 75 odd info boxes that would appear on screen in each segment. Wow, 75 of them. Man, that's a lot. That's a lot of work, man.
That is a ton of work.
God, seriously, that's a lot of work for 1 3-minute video? Well, that's the toughest job ever was working. Evidently, the toughest job in the entertainment industry was working on pop-up video.
Yeah, but, like, what do you got to do? Type it into a box?
Well, finding all the facts. You got to find 75. How are you going to find 75 facts on a Europe video? They're not even worth 75 facts. That's the toughest. Forget Leonardo DiCaprio sleeping in a dead horse and eating a liver. This was tougher. To gather information for the 75 info boxes that would appear, Lowe and Thompson started reaching out to crew members who had worked on the videos, from hairstylists to limo drivers. See, getting the behind the scenes. Not all videos were bloop worthy. When scanning the music video landscape for targets, Thompson and Lowe, it's just going to continue to make me laugh every time Thompson and Lowe gravitated toward popular hits that were slow to unravel. A more measured edit would give them time to insert the facts, but let them appear on screen long enough to give audiences a chance to read them. Videos with faster beats were too kinetic. Ballads are better, said Lowe. Something like Green Day? Forget about it.
Ooh.
All right. We have more facts about Thompson and Lowe and more about pop-up video. Evidently the hardest gig in entertainment history. But we'll do that after we take a break. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. You want to jump in here with any of your memories, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. We'll be right back. Yeah. Yeah, man. More Uriah Heep, baby. That was our third song in that Triple Play Thursday set. 219 area code, 262 area code requested some Uriah Heep for Triple Play Thursday. Nick DiGilio here on WGN, and we're talking about pop-up video, which was a very entertaining show on VH1, and we have some behind-the-scenes facts about pop-up video. Esmeralda, you must be learning a lot.
Just as I did when I watched the show.
See, you learned about the videos. Now you're learning about the learning about the videos. See?
Very meta.
It's like Inception.
There you go.
How many levels are we going to go down here? All right. According to this, they were too mean to Jacob Dylan. Bob's Kid was big in the 90s thanks to the success of his group, The Wallflowers, and had a sound that went over well on VH1. When pop-up video targeted one headlight, Thompson said that the network asked them to re-edit it 5 or 6 times and be kinder to Jacob Dylan. Aw. Didn't want to make Jacob Dylan angry. How about this one, Esmeralda? You're going to love this. Lionel Richie's Hello is considered their greatest achievement. Hello! For a video to take full advantage of pop-up's format, it was helpful to be both catchy and completely ridiculous. Lionel Richie's 1984 video for Hello proved to be the perfect storm of awful. From a Playboy playmate who was presumed to be blind, she wasn't, to a clay sculpt of Richie's head that was used despite looking grotesque, Thompson considers it the show's crowning moment. We've had lengthy discussions about that video, Esmeralda.
Oh, yes.
About how creepy it is.
And I remember a fact from that that pop-up video.
Oh.
When she's sitting there reading the book in her apartment.
Yeah.
She's reading something. I remember the pop-up was something about how Playboy magazines are in the Library of Congress, or in their Braille for the blind.
They're in Braille.
Yeah.
Playboy. Wow, look at that. So see?
The things I learned.
You learned from pop-up video. And it stayed with you.
Right. Better than school.
That's right. Better than school. All that money you're spending on kids' college, don't. Just watch pop-up video.
Yeah. I think I remember answering. I was watching Jeopardy or something. I answered something because I remembered it from pop-up video.
From pop-up video. You could also win $8 million on Jeopardy if you watch pop-up video. This is the lesson that we're learning.
Yeah.
College is a sham, and you can win on Jeopardy if you watch pop-up video.
Full disclosure, never won any money, ever, anywhere, because of it.
Oh, okay. They avoided rap and hip-hop until the 2011 revival, anyway. In its original 1996 to 2002 run, VH1 had producers avoid videos featuring rap or hip-hop artists, believing that the genres were the domain of MTV and not VH1. Okay. Billy Joel had an episode banned. Oh, really? Billy Joel had an episode banned. Okay. While pop-up video was never known for its gentle touch, some artists took this snark a little more personally than others. When the show covered Billy Joel's Keepin' the Faith video from 1984, the network received an angry call from Joel, who claimed his daughter was being teased about jokes relating to his ex-wife, Christie Brinkley. VH1 then yanked the entire episode featuring Joel's video from their schedule. Oh, well. Now, Esmeralda, do you remember the Keeping the Faith video?
I don't.
I don't remember the, I mean, I remember the video, I just don't remember.
Well, wait, when did it get yanked?
I don't, it doesn't say, but, I mean, the show was on, started in 96, so it got yanked.
No, but it pretty
yeah,
much
Dan's,
had one
Dan's,
showing,
Dan's
right?
laughing already, because you're going to hear that again tomorrow during yeah. Straight Out of Context.
No, but
when
I'm,
did it get yanked, everybody? Just mark the day and time down.
But I'm assuming when they took that episode off the air, it was they probably showed it once, maybe?
Well, it depends on how many, you know.
And
could,
then,
it could have been once, or it could have been, well, you know, knowing VH1, they show everything 53,000 times.
Right.
But it could have been like during one of the many reruns that Joel saw it. It had to be more than once, because but if kids are teasing his daughter.
That's true. What kind of nerd kids are watching the show and then going making fun of people about it?
I don't know. Me? They almost went. It almost went to theaters. When pop-up video became VH1's highest-rated program in 1997, the network began looking for ways to capitalize on the format in every venue possible. Reruns of The Oprah Winfrey Show got the treatment. A quiz show debuted and fizzled. More impressively, talks began with Paramount about re-releasing the 1978 movie Grease in theaters with the info boxes inserted. The studio ultimately passed on the idea.
You know, they did that on TNT or AMC.
Yeah,
AMC,
no, a lot of cable networks have done that.
Which is, I think it's fun.
I do too. If you've seen it already, it's nice to go back and watch that. I think that's fun. Especially, you know, because some people, I happen to love DVD commentary on DVDs. I happen to love director's commentary or actor's commentary. I really do. But some people find it boring and they don't like to listen. But if you're watching it and some cool graphics pop up with little facts about it, I think it's great. And then finally, there was a board game. I don't remember the board game. Esmeralda, do you remember the board game?
No.
At the height of Pop Mania, was there really a thing called Pop Mania? At the height of Pop Mania in 1999, VH1 partnered with Pressman Toy Corporation to release the pop-up video trivia game. A small LCD screen allowed for questions to materialize while players took turns answering or singing. We're going to have to find that on eBay, Esmeralda.
$12.
$12? We got to get it. We have to get it, and we have to play it on the air. Seriously, send me the link. I'll order it. Is it on? Is it eBay? Because I don't have an eBay thing.
You have so much conviction in your voice.
No,
right
I want to play it on the air. It'll be awesome. I don't do it. Do I have to register on eBay? Right, I do.
No, yeah, you could. They have a guest program.
Can I just go in and just go, I would like to buy this? I don't want to get into like some bidding war with some idiot. And then get, what do they call it, sniped? Do you get sniped?
You can do buy it now, I think.
All right, I'll
things.
Do it, buy it now. $12.
That was kind of crazy just now, though.
Oh, I want to
like,
get
no,
it.
No, no, no. Whatever I need, I'll buy it right now.
I want to get it. I just don't want to like sign up on eBay. I don't do the eBay thing. I did years ago.
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm sure no one's in a bidding war right now for the pop-up video game.
They are now. If anybody's listening right now, you can bet your ass everybody's going to eBay right now just to snipe me.
I have a feeling there's just a warehouse full of these suckers.
Well, we're going to play it on the air. I promise you. I will get it, and we will play it on the air. So there you go. Everything you needed to know about pop-up video, plus watch Shipmates on YouTube. Watch The Genius of Chris Hardwick.
Pop-up video.
That's right.
Ooh. Oh, it was the best.
Yeah, it was awesome. And they would make little bubble sound. The show was great. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up in the afternoon news. My friend Dmitry Samarov is here. We're going to talk about his latest columns, his book reviews, and more.